You are listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak this morning. California wildfires have destroyed, really, it's a staggering number of structures, mostly homes, but many businesses, too, over the past year or so. Several of the state's most deadly, destructive, and largest wildfires on record have taken place since October of last year until just last month. And joining us today to discuss the monumental task of rebuilding these devastated communities is Dan Dunmoyer. He's the president and CEO of the California Building Industry Association. Welcome to Insight, Dan. And I want to start right off the top by addressing the number of homes that need to be rebuilt versus the number of available qualified contractors. How bad is it right now?
Randall, it's actually very bad. We need in this area of Paradise alone 14,000 single-family and multifamily residences rebuilt. And even before this fire, we have a stunning problem of finding qualified labor to build new homes. And so this complexity and this fire, this enormous fire, just adds to that challenge and will add to the delay of rebuilding this community.
Does the remote location of Paradise make the situation even more difficult to get qualified contractors to where they need to be?
It does. I mean, the major city near Paradise is Chico, and Chico now has like a rental vacancy of less than 1%.
Wow.
And so you need hundreds and thousands of skilled labor folks to build, and they would normally live in Chico. Normally live in Paradise, but now they don't have a home there. So it'll be difficult then to commute them from Chico because that's also impacted. So how far will they have to commute just to get to work in Paradise is going to add to the complexity and challenge.
Does it also make a difference that the homes being rebuilt in Paradise, for the most part, are not necessarily mansions?
That's correct. It doesn't necessarily make it more difficult. In some ways, it doesn't require the depth of skill, although to build a small home or a big home still requires plumbing, electrical, heating and air conditioning system skills, and basic framing skills. But smaller and easier homes, less expensive homes, are easier to rebuild, and that will at least assist in this effort to make it an easier process.
But might not draw the contractors in who want to make that extra money.
Correct. I mean, the challenge in trying to create a production-style building where you bring in a builder to build, let's say, 500 homes at one time is very difficult post-fire everywhere, but especially in Paradise, because Paradise does not have a history of building 1,000 homes at a time. It was homes built, in a sense, a few each year over the last 30, 40 years. So there isn't like a community like Coffee Park or others where you have 500 similar style homes in one area where you could bring in a production builder like Lennar or KB and say, hey, can you rebuild our community?
And Coffee Park is in Santa Rosa,
That's
we should
correct.
Mention, in Sonoma County.
So correct. So the Coffee Park fire there in Santa Rosa is more of a traditional track home. In Paradise, you don't have track homes that were burnt down. You have a lot of individual style homes. So finding the process to bring in a builder to build something like that is also more complicated. And that's going to be the challenge of Paradise. And it's becoming the challenge across California with these fires as well.
Yeah. And the Tubbs fire in Santa Rosa devastated large sections of town, not just the Coffee Park area.
Correct.
And in some of the areas outside of Coffee Park, we're looking at rates right now where homes are in at least some status of being rebuilt, somewhere around the 20% range. A year after the fire and the affluency of Sonoma County is higher than mm-hmm. most areas of the state, and yet we're still at just 20% a year later.
That's actually not uncommon. So my background also includes working in the insurance industry and trying to kind of adjust the claims, clear out the property, because there's a lot of toxic waste after these horrific fires. And unifying the community to create a path to do that is difficult. But you're right. The Santa Rosa City Council and the city managers have done a good job now to streamline that process. So you should see that picking up. But you're correct. After a year, you still see a small footprint being rebuilt. And because of the nature of the shortage of labor and the magnitude of these fires in California, it's going to take years to rebuild these communities.
How much of it has to do with the ability of the homeowner to pay for the contractors to come in?
It's going to change, home by home. And what's interesting, it can even be the same insurance company. and yet you have an agent who persists and gets you to buy more coverage and full replacement, or you just tell your agent, which is very common, I want the cheapest possible policy, which means it's going to be limited coverage.
So that's common because people think it's not going to happen to me. And you could see that in Santa Rosa, which was not necessarily listed as a high area of vulnerability for this sort of thing.
Correct. You know, you're not in what we call the wildland urban interface. You're right. It was kind of a suburb, and it was pretty much protected by streets, roads, freeways. And once it leapt the freeway in Santa Rosa, that changed everything. But that's going to be the challenge is the insurance component. You're going to have 50 different companies and different coverages, and that's going to make it easy for some to rebuild and close to impossible for others.
So you mentioned the staggering number of homes that need to be rebuilt in the Paradise area. I did some quick math before the show to add up everything since the Tubbs fire, and there's been many, including down in Southern California. And the figure that I came up with is more than 24,000 destroyed properties, and that does include some businesses that would need to be rebuilt as well. Do those numbers match up roughly with what
they
you
do.
Know?
We say 23 to 25,000, so we're right in the same point.
Then that adds to the state of California estimates of a deficit of 3.5 million homes that need to be built in the state in order to relieve the non-wildfire-created housing crisis. Is there a way for us to bring in the necessary number of contractors that we need, even if it's from out of state?
Great question. That's the great challenge. So we agree with the numbers you provided there and feel those are accurate for both the non-fire rebuild and just the needs for the state of California. The challenge is we do have a national housing shortage and a national housing labor shortage as well. So our neighbors next to us, Nevada, Arizona, Utah, Texas, not too far away, have a tremendous demand as well. Some with, you know, in Texas's case, it's also weather-related damages. And so it's putting more pressure on the availability of labor. But the only way we are going to rebuild the needs that we have in California, both for fire-related damage and just general home building, is to attract and grow more labor in this state.
Yeah, I imagine the contractors can afford to live in California. Is it the is the shortage at the other end, the laborers who are coming onto the job sites can't necessarily afford to live in the Bay Area or wherever it may be?
Especially the Bay Area. Most contractors can't even afford to live in the Bay Area now with the average home price of $1.5 million per home. But yes, if you're a laborer, you're making good money. You can make $80,000 to $100,000 a year as a plumber or electrician. But that's you can't live in San Francisco in that salary. That's considered a poverty level for a family of four in San Francisco. $116,000 is considered poverty, which anywhere else in the country, $100,000 will get you a home and a decent lifestyle. But in the Bay Area in California, there's many places where that just won't cut it.
Dan, several years ago, you worked for Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger overseeing disaster response for the state. Now you're in the home builder industry and these things are now coming together. This seems to be your moment where you really have a handle on what's going on.
And that's really the hope because there's a lot of question about should we even rebuild? Is this the right place? And so I have sat down with some of the officials I worked with and we can rebuild in these areas, but we have to be much more thoughtful about it. And two things that come to mind, we do have much better building codes than we had 10 years ago. They're much hardened homes, as we call them. But we also need to build the communities in such a way that there truly is defensible space surrounding these communities. And most importantly, that defensible space is maintained for years. We'll remember after this fire will be seared in our mind for about 3 to 5 years, and then we'll get lazy as Californians. If we are diligent and vigilant to maintain space around new homes that are built and all homes that exist, you know, we can mitigate the damages associated with these fires. And that requires a lot of persistence and a lot of efforts by the citizens and by the fire force itself.
Is it possible to build a fire, mostly fireproof, attractive structure that people would want to buy and live in?
It is. And that, again, assumes you maintain the defensible space. I mean, if you put high brush, you know, high dead tree, the number of dead trees around anything, even made out of stone and a roof made out of cement, it will burn. I mean, any home can burn from the inside as well, though now we have sprinklers in all homes built. So that's pretty difficult. But with defensible space, the answer is yes. Without it, there's pretty much no home you can build that's not going to eventually burn because the power of these fires is just stunning.
It really is. We're speaking with the president and CEO of the California Building Industry Association, Dan Dunmoyer. Dan, at this same time, when we have this shortage, some people who have lost their properties may feel like they lucked out. Wow, I found a contractor who's willing to do the work, and it turns out to be a scam. Mm-hmm. How do you weed through that at a time when you're very vulnerable?
Great question. We see this, again, from my insurance background. We would see people come in and say, hey, you know, if you want me to build your home first, you have to give me a lot of money now, and then I'll build it. And then they end up in a foreign country living on a beach. So, I mean, there's a couple of key things. One, make sure they're licensed. Two, you can go onto the websites of the California public policy and government and find out if they really truly are licensed. I mean, they should have a track record. A good home builder has built, even if they're a custom home builder who builds 10 homes a year, that means they've built hundreds of homes. And so ask them to go see the homes, talk to the family that lives in those homes, and see if that home builder is real. And nobody should ever ask for more than 10% down, so to speak, for building a home. You know, as a builder, you can't spend that much money that quickly. You can't buy the cement and the wood and other things. So somebody says, well, I need 50% of your insurance proceeds, they're probably a crook.
Dan, if you had magical powers and you could change anything you want right now to get these homes built as quickly as possible so people can return home and rebuild their communities, what would you change?
Well, a couple of things. One, local governments need to create a process for rebuilding that's easier. And Santa Rosa is a great example where the city leaders came together and created expedited permits, expedited review process, and brought people together as a community. That's what changes the time to rebuild. And we've seen that in California and in my national background before. We saw that in other communities. Communities that come together and cities that come together change things. The second thing is to attract labor and to allow for short-term communities to be built. You'll hear efforts in Chico and other parts to bring in literally RVs or mobile homes to bring in the labor and to make sure they can live close by so they don't spend 2-3 hours commuting, and that's a wasted time to rebuild. So if communities can assist and support in that transitional housing until it can be rebuilt, that would help. And the final thing, too, is also for the state and local leaders to come together and develop a strategy to harden those areas to make sure that these fires don't occur again. And that can be done. It's done in other communities throughout the state. It just requires that focus of attention.
Dan, I wish we had more time. I could speak to you for a full hour on this topic, but we're glad we had you while we did. Dan Dunmoyer, President and CEO of the California Building Industry Association, discussing the challenges of rebuilding after a year or so of absolutely devastating wildfires statewide. Thanks for being on Insight.
Randall, thanks for having me.
And we have more at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.
Nobody knows where the shadows go into the night, soft as a whisper. I think they climb to the sky.